Hi, everybody. This is Michael Worthington, and I'd like to welcome you to another call in our True Masters of SEO series, where we introduce you to people who have proven that they truly understand search engine optimization. We'll be sharing with you some things that you can implement today to get more immediate traffic from the search engines. And today's interview is going to be a little bit different in that, different from most interviews, where most of them are conducted by Willie Crawford. Well, this time we're going to turn it around, and I am going to interview Willie and see if we can squeeze some of his secrets out of it. So we'll get right on into it, since I know you don't want to sit and listen to me ramble. You want to get to the good stuff. So, Willie, for the few listeners on the call who might not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been online since 1996, which in internet years makes me a dinosaur. I came online while I was still in the Air Force, actually. I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to leave the military before being eligible for retirement, so I started a business that if I elected to stick around, I could move around with me, and that was on the internet. And I ended up actually staying for another 6 years, retiring from the military in 2002. But by then I'd built a six-figure income. I sell my own products. I sell affiliate products. I have hosted seminars. I speak at a lot of seminars. I'm a joint venture broker. I'm very prolific as a product creator, and I've been studying marketing most of my life. I'm 50 now, and I'd say I've been studying marketing since I was about 7, when I was selling seeds and newspapers and stuff from catalogs door to door.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it seemed like that. You certainly know what you're talking about then.
I'm a student of marketing, so I observe things and analyze them and ask what makes sense and what doesn't make sense.
Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about search engine optimization, and you and I haven't really talked about this before, but I know that you know a lot about it, and you consider yourself an SEO expert. I mean, is this something that you actually get paid to do for other people?
I consider myself an expert in that I've spent a considerable amount of time studying SEO. I realized very early on that it was the people near the top of the search engines that got most of the traffic. And as I was floundering around trying to figure out what I was going to do with my as an internet marketer, at one time I advertised my SEO services and even had people like Bob Proctor and Paul Hartunian hire me. I was charging like $3,000 at the time to SEO a site.
Wow.
And yet I discovered it was a lot more work than I really wanted to do. But and what I did was I spent a lot of time. I had subscribed to a number of newsletters and probably spent about 30 hours a week just reading about the different search engines and how they changed and which one was good for what, and what type of page you had to design for what. So it was very difficult work to me, but I did develop into quite an expert.
And, of course, you still keep up with what's working now as opposed to what was working even as early as last year.
I do, because I don't want to waste my time doing something that's certainly going to hurt my search engine rankings. And so it's more to not offend the search engine, not get banned than any other reason.
You still offer SEO services to clients?
I do, but it's to my offline business clients. I discovered in talking to a number of friends who'd been working exclusively with offline businesses that they are the ones with budgets set aside to pay you for some of these things. I mean, there's companies that pay their SEO experts $30,000 a month just to keep them at the top of the search engine, really competitive industries. And so these businesses have budgets set aside for that, whereas if I were offering the same services to, say, an internet marketer who's on a shoestring budget and trying to gradually build up a business, they are unwilling and they can't afford to pay what I consider my time worth, so I don't focus on them. But a local car dealer, a local realtor, they've got, you know, that realtor sells a $300,000 house and makes 6%. They've made like $18,000 on the house, so they can afford to pay me to make sure they're at the top of the search engine.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, what do you consider the most important part of your SEO work?
I'd say the very most important part is actually doing the keyword research. it does no good to rank at the top of the search engines on a keyword if nobody's searching on it. And not only that, you want to rank for the keywords that your buyers are searching on. I mean, I don't want to rank for a keyword that, you know, some grade school student's going to find me because they're doing a research paper, but they're not buyers. I don't want to spend money to get that grade school student.
Right.
And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So I want to know, what are my buyers typing into the search engines when they find me? And I use a lot of things to do that, including looking at my website logs, just to make sure, you know, that I'm getting the right people to my site. I also I look at backlinks. I consider that very important because when the biggest search engine, Google, looks at ranking a site, I think the most important factor right now is off page. It's what are other sites saying about you, what are other people saying about you, rather than what you say about you, because we all naturally say good things about ourselves.
Exactly.
And so,
the
backlinking is huge. And
I would go on a limb and say that the backlinks are probably 99% of once you get the good keyword that people that buying customers are actually paying customers are searching for, that I'd say probably 99% of the rest of it is all in the backlinks.
Right, absolutely. And in fact, that's what I focus most on when I'm doing my SEO lately.
So now you mentioned, you said something about on-page or off-page. Maybe it was while you and I were talking before the interview. But,
right.
What do you mean by off-page factors now?
Well, on-page factors are what I used to focus on, and that is what words are on the page and what links and you know, where the capitalization and the italics and all those things are. Those things aren't as important in SEO as they used to be, and what's more important is to have what's called an authority site maybe pointing to you. If I could get a link from CNN.com or somebody like that, that is huge as far as the search engines is
gold.
Yes, and so that's what I focus on to an extent. And so it's the off-page, it's what are the sites that are linking to me saying what words are in the anchor text, the text that's sort of blue when and underlined.
Right.
That tells the search engine that's what that site thinks my site's about. And so I'm looking at, can I control that even? And you can to an extent. And so that's what I mean by off-page factors. It's who's linking to you, it's what they're saying about you. It's even what other words on the page that's linking to you are about, because they have something called latent semantic indexing, where they look at not only the specific keywords, but for that site that's linking to you, what is the general theme of that site that's linking to you?
Uh-huh. So, well, now you're talking about site, you know, having links on other sites where you can't control the content to a whole lot on most sites, but how do you get links from sites that you can't control that actually help your site?
Yeah, the way I do it is by benefiting those sites. I submit content to those sites for the most part. There are sites out there that are article directories that they make their money from publishing a lot of ads, and then Google sends advertisers over to them, basically, and so Google pays them the advertisers' dollars, and they want as much content as they can get as long as it's quality content on certain topics. So I submit to article directories, I submit to podcast directories, to video sharing sites like YouTube, to bookmarking sites, and the social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook. I put my content out on all those sites, and even what's called Web 2.0 sites, such as Squidoo. When I use the term Web 2.0, I'm thinking of sites that are more interactive, whereas the Web 1.0 sites were sites that a visitor looked at and they just read the page and they didn't get to interact with the page. A Web 2.0 site is an enriched experience where the visitor gets to maybe enter something into a form and the page itself somehow responds.
You're talking about a lot of sites along the same lines as Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that.
Yeah, the user actually gets to interact with the site. And what I do is I get my content on as many of those sites as I can. And when I say content, it's maybe an article where in the resource box or even in the body of the article, I've got links back to my site. So while I can't visit the site and physically put a link on the site, I could submit content that has links embedded.
Uh-huh. Well, now that's You know, that's a ton of work. All right, enough. But how much time per week do you spend doing this?
Well, it can be a ton of work. I have articles that I may submit to 40, 50 sites. Although typically I focus on the most important sites, the ones that in any given category, whether it's video sharing sites, whether it's article sites or press release sites, the top sites are going to get the majority of the traffic. So I make sure I'm submitting to them first, and then I trickle down from there. But I probably spend maybe 10 hours a week on submitting to sites. And what I do, though, is I only do certain things, and the stuff that's really, really boring or monotonous, I outsource, or I use software to automate the process where, you know, software doesn't mind doing the same thing over and over and over again, same keystrokes, but I do. I like to have my mind engaged when I'm working.
I hear that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, what kind of software, then, do you use to automate this process?
Yeah, I use several pieces of software. I only really use two or three every day, though. One's called Easy Push Button Traffic, and it's used for submitting articles, videos, press releases, and podcasts to the top sites in each category. Again, I just focus on the top ones. I'm actually, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm actually a part owner of Easy Push Button Traffic, and I bought into it because I was already using the software so much that I fell in love with it, and when I was offered a partnership and so I could actually make money from it, it only made sense. And in fact, I call that the Victor Kiam syndrome.
That's what I was going to say. You loved it so much you bought the company.
Yeah, Victor loved the Remington razor, the all-electric razor, so much that he bought the company. And a lot of our listeners probably won't even remember Victor, but, you know.
Now, we're telling our age now.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. What about anything besides easy push button?
Yeah, I was going to say I was introduced to a piece of software called Brute Force SEO. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, and that software completely blew my mind. I use it primarily for a lot of the same thing for building backlinks to my site. And what the software does is you build a profile by registering, giving it your email address and a few other very basic pieces of data, and maybe you give it an article, and then when you hit the go button, the software will go out to, like, literally over 100 sites and create accounts. Yet the sites that it creates accounts on will send a verification email to the email address you use. The software logs into your email account, clicks on the verification link, and then goes back to the site it just registered at and posts your article, posts your bookmarks, posts snippets to a blog or whatever. So the software will do what would take you, I don't know, 30, 40 hours to do, just visiting all these sites and posting your blog and things like that, posting backlinks. It'll do that for you. So I spend maybe 10 minutes to set up a campaign, I call it, and then I let the software go, I minimize it, and I go do something else, and the software will run for 2 to 3 hours hitting all those sites. But I'm not spending, you know, a week doing it. And That's called Brute Force SEO.
Yeah, I use that myself, and it is an excellent program. And you're right, it saves, well, in my case, I mean, I'm not as quick as you are, so it probably saves me 50, 60 hours a week.
Yeah, and for the listeners who want to check out either of those pieces of software, Easy Push Button Traffic is at easypushbuttontraffic.com. That's easypushbuttontraffic.com. It's spelled just the way it sounds. And Brute Force SEO, I won't let Peter know that I'm sending him people over, so I'm going to use an affiliate link, which is http://, and then all lowercase, Willie, that's my name, W-I-L-L-I-E, .brutefoorseseo.com. That's Willie.brutefoorseseo.com. And they can go over, they can actually try the software out for completely free, not even a $1 deposit, anything is required to use it for a week and submit as many sites and accounts as you want. You could actually literally in a week, you know, have created 10,000 backlinks to your various sites, and it won't cost you a penny, and all you need to do then is cancel before you build via PayPal. You could literally go over, use the software, get a lot of SEO benefit out of it, and then just cancel if you don't have the money.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
It is. Like I said, I've used it myself, and then I fell in love with it as soon as I used it. Well, since you studied SEO so much, And a lot of people struggle with it. I mean, this is, you know, it's a hard job. Let's face it. If you don't know what you're doing, it is a tough job to get ranked in the search engine. So, is it worth the effort, number one? And in the second place, what are some of these people doing wrong, or some of the things that they're doing wrong?
Right. To the question, is it worth the effort? What you have to consider is the other means you have of generating traffic. And one of the ones I have used and even did a course on is pay-per-click traffic. But depending on the niche you're in, you could be paying $1, $2, $5 for a single click from Google to send you a visitor. So when I look at the value of, say I do something and it sends me just 100 visitors a day, if I was paying $5 a click, that's worth $500 a day that I would be saving in just buying that pay-per-click traffic to one site. And so to the answer, is it worth it? It's definitely worth putting in the effort, provided what you do is working. Which brings us to the second part of the question, what are people doing wrong? Some of the more common things I see people doing wrong is they're not optimizing each web page for one specific term. You know, if you have a site about horses, and it's everything to do with horses, you know, you may have one page that's on feed, one page that's on grooming, one page that's on breeding, one page that's on sheltering. You want each of those pages to be focused on a very specific topic, so that somebody interested in horse grooming or taking care of a horse or medical treatment or whatever can find that specific page, and that page will rank higher if you don't dilute its strength by trying to make it about everything.
Right,
and
exactly.
So I believe you need to optimize each page for just one or two terms. It can rank for one term and then still show up in the listings for others, but won't have as much strength. That's fine, but you want to focus on one term. The other thing is, I think you need to target less competitive keywords, what we call long tail keywords. Instead of targeting real estate, target first time buyers real estate, or single family homes, or VA loans, or you know, VA repossessions or whatever, but don't target just real estate. Target very specific terms, and I even believe in geo-targeting, so you target the name of your hometown or name of neighboring towns or name of specific neighborhoods or names of specific brands. You know, somebody looking for a flat-screen television or a digital camera, when they go online and they're looking for the best price, they usually have in mind what kind of camera they want. So if you can target that phrase and rank for it, you're going to get that customer who's a buying customer because he already knows what model of TV he wants. And as long as you're not stepping on trademarks, you're okay doing that, and you'll get those buying customers. The other thing is I see a lot of people who will set up a template on a website, and they'll come up with a generic title and description, meta tags, which is you know, what the site's generally about. But then they use the same title and description on every page as they take that template and just build new pages on the site. Well, that doesn't tell the search engines anything about what – it doesn't tell not just the search engine, but what the search engines do is when they list a page, they often list the exact title that's on the page and the listings. In fact, I think of the search engine listings almost like a mini classified ad. So that page title is a headline, and then the description – can be thought of as the body of an ad, and some search engines, it's somewhat random, but some search engines will grab the exact words that you use in your description. So I think I'm writing an ad, and I'm thinking, okay, this person who's found my site through the search engines, they're going to read a title or headline and a description, and it needs to be enticing enough and tell them enough benefits that they'll then click through to my site after reading that ad, which is that listing. So I say use a different title and a different description for every page on your site, so that you're telling them what benefit they get from visiting that page.
Yeah, and having a unique and an eye-grabbing description and title will also help. Like in the case of, say, you've got 10 listings on Google. Now, say that you're down listed at number 8, but you've got a better description and a title than the guy at number 2, you may get the click through. They may just skim over him, and your title sticks out. You might get the click through as opposed to somebody higher up on the list than you.
Right, right. Because you know, they read from top to bottom, but they're also skimming, and so your listing could jump out at them because it has the right words in it. Also, a lot of the search engines highlight the keywords that you're looking for. So if somebody types in a phrase and that phrase is in your title, a lot of times it'll be highlighted and it'll jump out at them like, here's the words you were looking for. And so that tells them, you know, yes, you found what you're looking for. That's a good thing, too.
Exactly right.
Also, I see a lot of people not using more videos and press releases. Google has noticed that a lot of people who grew up watching television like watching videos, and so they've started listing videos higher up in the organic listings. You know, when somebody doesn't just go to a video site, they just type in a phrase. If there's a video that's talking about that phrase and it was uploaded, and in the template when it was uploaded, they put the keywords in the title or the description, Google is very likely to show that video in the listings. And so that's a good way to get some traction. And it's the same thing with press releases. If your press release title and or description or hyperlinks can have your keywords in it, it can work for you not just in getting media attention but in ranking in the search engines. And Google also noticed a long time ago that the very latest breaking news back then was in the press release sites, because that's where the media was turning to. And so Google back then favored press release sites, and they still do give them some preference, although they've turned more to social media now, I think, than press release sites.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you and I have talked about links, backlinking, and the importance of having links pointing back to your site. You know, a lot of people are under the impression that you've got to have just hundreds and thousands of links pointing back to your site to really make a difference. But you and I both know that's not exactly true.
No, it depends on, all things being equal, the one with the most links is going to win. But what matters more is who's linking to you. An authority site, if you could get one link from an authority site like CNN or, you know, or a big university or a government site or whatever, that link could be worth, you know, 10,000 links from minor sites which have no page rank. So what you really want is links from authority sites.
But in some cases, though, I know I've found, and I'm sure you have too, that just having, you know, maybe just having 20 or 30 links will make the difference between getting listed and not.
Yeah, you can outrank your competitor by one link, and that'll put you above them in the listings a lot of times. And sometimes you'll look at the search engine results, and you can't really figure out why that a site's ranked higher than you. You know, there's no obvious reason. Sometimes it's because that site's older. Google gives preference to older sites. And other times, it's just factors that you can't readily identify, so you have to really study what's happening. And the site may have fewer links, but maybe some of the sites that are linking to that site are higher page rank sites, for example.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you may have to do a little digging.
Okay, well, that's a subject for a whole, I mean, we could do a whole five-hour call on,
yes,
on that
could.
By itself. We'll move on down here. Now, you're real big on Twitter and Facebook, other social networking sites, SoCool and a new one that just come up. How does that play into your SEO efforts, and how do you keep these sites from eating up all your time?
Yeah.
I know if I go to Facebook, man, I've killed an hour. You know,
you could. I mean, because people over on Facebook, they posted all these video clips and all these neat things for you to go check out. First of all, is it worth it? It's worth putting some time into it because posts to Facebook, even pictures posted on Facebook as parts of albums, and posts to Twitter, they're turned into static HTML pages by the platforms themselves. And the big search engines are constantly crawling these sites, so those HTML web pages do rank. Twitter is a page rank 9 site itself, and if you use the Alexa toolbar, you'll see that out of all the sites on the Internet right now, Twitter is like, it vacillates between number 12 and number 13 or 14 as the most visited sites on the Internet right now.
Uh-huh.
That's Twitter. So, you know, a site getting that much traffic that's that popular – you can't afford to ignore. And so I am active on Twitter and Facebook, and they're little keys to how you post so that your posts rank better. You know, you want to put your keywords near the front of a post. If you're going to put a URL in there, you want to put it near the front so that it's not converted into a shortened URL, things like that. But as far as not wasting a lot of time, I use a lot of automation, and I'm very disciplined, too. I actually have a timer on my computer that if I tell myself, okay, you're going to spend 10 or 15 minutes doing something, I'll often start a digital timer that when my time is up, it buzzes at me and flashes at me. And that's just a reminder that I need to get back to something that was more important that I was working on. But I also use what my friend Ron Capps, who's also called the Niche Prof, calls what do you call it? Economy of action. That is, I post in one place and have it show up in dozens of other places. For example, I have a blog, and that blog, a lot of people call themselves blogging experts. This is getting off topic a little, but I've been blogging since 2004, so I've been blogging longer than most blogging experts. But my blog, when I post to it, automatically echoes that post to Twitter and to a few other places. When I post to Twitter, Twitter automatically relays that post to Facebook, to Squidoo, to a few other places. So what I've done is I've configured so when I post to one place, it shows up in other places. You mentioned SoCool, which was started by my friends Phil Bass. Sorry. Which was started by my friends Phil Baston and Jane Mark. They've set it up so that when you post to SoCool, there's a little checkbox you can check that says, okay, post to another 30 to 40 sites, and it'll post to other Web 2.0 sites, it'll post to web blogs, it'll post to a bunch of other sites if you configure your account properly. So I can go over to SoCool, make one post, and that post is relayed to some sites that also relay to other sites, and by the end of the day, that one post could be in hundreds of places, literally. And so I use that economy of action to spend less time than you would imagine posting, and yet I'm everywhere. And for people who want to check out SoCool, it's spelled S-O-K-U-L-E. I used to say SoCool, but it's SoCool. So S-O-K-U-L-E.com. And to let Phil and Jane know I sent you, you go /, and then Willie C, and that's in lowercase. So SoCool.com/WillieC, and that's in all lowercase. And you can check out the platform itself. It is one of my big secrets, though. And what I like about SoCool, though, is a lot of your social networking sites are designed for people to chit-chat, and if you post too many ads, get too commercial, you can be frowned upon. Well, Phil and Jane created SoCool to be for marketers, and so you're encouraged to post links to your products and services. You're encouraged to tell people what you do.
That's a breath of fresh air right there. Now, you were talking about you can click a box and submit to 30 or 40 other Web 2.0 or social networking site, Web 2.0 site. Is this in the free version or the paid version?
There are different features. There's actually several levels of paid version. I think most of the posting to other sites are in the paid version, which they've set up like a buffet style where you can get the free version and say, okay, I want to add this feature and that feature and that feature, and it costs you a dollar or two a month.
Okay.
Or you can go for an upgraded account where a whole bunch of things are bundled, and I have the highest level of account, so I get
all
the features.
You started out, you went ahead and got the founder's account, which pretty much includes everything.
It includes everything that they have now and everything they'll ever add to the system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I believe the founder memberships are pretty much gone now. I got an email from, I met Phil and Jane back the same time I met you back in 2004.
Okay.
Up at Sean's conference there in Atlanta. And they were still into click exchanges then, but they really hit the jackpot on this SoCool thing.
I think so, and I spent 8 days with Phil and Jane. I went on a cruise that went from Port Canaveral here in Florida to Cancun, and then went into Honduras. There's Roatan, the island off the coast of Honduras. Then we went into Belize, and we came back and stopped another place in Mexico. And so for 8 days, I'm on a cruise where several nights I joined Phil and Jane at their table for private meals, and we discussed their marketing efforts and my marketing efforts. We bounced ideas off each other. So they're close friends, and we did discuss So Cool and how it's going, and you know how to use it best and things like that. And I really like the platform myself.
Yeah, it's I've got a free membership right now, but I haven't really got into it. But I'm going to, especially since we've had this conversation. Well, look here, Willie. We've already given listeners a ton of information, and I know you're busy. I got some things I need to get back to, but before we wrap everything up, what are you working on right now that you want to tell everybody about?
Right now, I work a lot as a joint venture broker, and so a lot of times the things I'm working on are projects for my clients, and a way to keep up with, actually, one of the big secrets to being a really successful affiliate marketer, and this is off topic a little, but is to find out about a product launch early so you can get out there in the search engine. You know, if you knew that I was launching a product and you knew the product name and you knew it was 2 months down the road, you could go out and register a domain name and put some articles or reviews or whatever up about that. And by the time the product hit the street, you're already on the front page of Google for the term. So when somebody's looking for that term, you'll just get type-in traffic, people wanting to review the product. And
if I remember right, that made you a ton of money when Jeff Walker released his product.
It did.
Formula.
It did. And so I work as a joint venture broker, which means I help people to find JV partners, and people who monitor me, who are on my list as a subscriber or subscribe to some of my, like I have a Facebook group where I list product launches and things like that, those people find out about things I'm doing early. So what I really would encourage people to do is to go over to my website at WillieCrawford.com. I know that's hard to remember, but WillieCrawford.com, and join my newsletter, which is free. And there I tell people a lot of things that are going on. I share a lot of information with people. And, you know, if you ever get bored at what I'm putting out, at the bottom of every issue is a link you click on, and you're unsubscribed instantly. I don't make you jump through hoops to get off my list.
I hear you. That's a good deal, too. You've pointed them toward WillieCrawford.com, and also you got a lot of good stuff on your blog as well. Did you mention that?
I didn't. They go to WillieCrawford.com. It's /blog2. If they typed just blog, they'd find the same thing. But my first blog was so full that I put up a second one.
Okay.
So WillieCrawford.com/blog2.
All righty. Well, that's about all the questions I had for you, Willie, on this. Is there anything that you, any wrap-up that you want to add here?
No, just want to encourage the listeners that when they come up with ideas and projects and things, to not spend too much time thinking about it. Just go ahead and do it, because that's how you move forward in this business.
That's the big thing I've found. You've been beating my head for years now to don't let fear of playing the game. Don't let the fear of losing keep me from playing the game. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural to fear, you know, what's my family going to say about me? What if what I'm working on doesn't work out? And one of the biggest ones I see is if I pick the wrong project and I'm working on in this niche and something better comes along, you know, I will have missed out. Well, if you don't pick any project, you're missing out anyway. So just pick something, stick with it, and, you know, if it doesn't work, then you can drop it and go to something else. But don't fear making the wrong choice, because we all do from time to time.
Well, that is the beauty of the Internet as opposed to the old days of direct mail, where you had to put an advertisement in a magazine and wait 3 months for it to come out to see if it was going to work or not, or spend, you know, what, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 for a mailing list to find out, you know, that your product, nobody wants your product, you know.
Yeah, I work with local businesses where they say to me, you know, I'm already advertising in a Yellow Page, and I say, you spend $50,000 on a Yellow Page listing, a full page maybe, depending on the size of the city, and you can't change it. Once that Yellow Page book is published, you can't change your prices, you can't change your address, your phone number, anything. It's just out there. And I say, look, you know, you spend just a couple $1,000s with me, and you can change that web page every day if you want to, and people are going to the Internet to find you anyway. So it's very powerful.
Yeah. And if your ad sucks, like you said, well, Yellow Page, you're locked in for a year.
You are, yes.
And so, okay, well, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Sounds like a plan.
I do encourage anybody listening to this to to check out all the great tips and resources that Willie shared with us. And I've known Willie personally for since before God made dirt now.
That's right.
And he don't say it if it ain't right. So check out his websites and take a look at the tools and resources that he uses. I promise you, if you make any effort at all, you won't be disappointed.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Willie. I appreciate you spending the time with me. And, hey, we got to get together for dinner at the Crab Trap again before long.
That sounds like a plan to me.
All right.
Take care,
you have a good
friend.
Evening now.
Bye.